Welcome to the Holy, Healthy Christian Moms Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Kay, certified biblical health coach. I've been unmistakably called by Jesus to help Christian moms add energy to their days and reignite passion to their purpose as holy, healthy Christian moms. Hey there, ladies, and welcome to another episode of Holy Healthy Christian Moms. I am so happy to have you with us today. And yes, I did say us because I have a very special guest with me today. I don't really have a lot of guests on my podcast, but this one deserves her own introduction. So would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, my name is Juliana Kay.
And who are you, Juliana Kay? Who are you? Are you a Martian?
No.
Are you a possum?
No.
Then who are you?
A person.
A person. And who do you belong to?
Miss Kay.
To your mommy?
Yes.
Are you my little girl?
Yes.
Are you my oldest girl?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Juliana has been asking for a while to come record a podcast with me, and so this one was a perfect one for us to record together because it actually involves her a little bit.
I learned it in school.
She learned a little bit of it in school. So, all right.
Not a whole lot.
So, we have four children. Juliana is, how old are you?
Eight.
And you have, what, a brother?
Who is six. Other brother who's four, and the other brother and the other sister that is four too. The other tiny two are twins.
So the youngest siblings you have are twins.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we homeschool. So we go to this really, really super cool. Do you think it's super cool?
Kind of.
Homeschool hybrid. So that means that the children are at home with us on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and they go to a homeschool hybrid, an actual school on Tuesdays and Thursdays, where they're there from 8:15 until 2:45. You were going to say something?
It was, it's really fun at school.
Yeah. What's your favorite part of school?
Reading and lunch and recess.
Reading and lunch and recess?
Yes.
What do you love about reading?
That I'm learning about Clara Barton.
Clara Barton, very good.
And she healed her own brother when he jumped off the roof but broke no bones, and he got very sick.
How did she help him?
Giving him his meals every day.
Yeah, that was sweet of him. Sweet of her to help him. So, do you love your teachers?
Yes.
What do you love about your teachers?
That they're I don't know.
You don't know?
No.
Do you like being in second grade?
Not that much.
Why?
Because I want to be in kindergarten still.
You still want to be in kindergarten?
Yes, it's easy work.
Yeah, and the kindergarten teacher's pretty amazing, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
William has a crush on her.
Yeah, but you've got really, really super duper great second grade teachers too.
Miss Carmody and Miss Goings.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. They're mommy's friends. You're very lucky. Anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, they go to school 2 days a week and have, you know, real school. And one of the beautiful things that we love about this hybrid academy is that they get Bible. So they start off every day with 30 minutes of chapel where they sing praise songs. What's your favorite praise song that you sing with Mr. Dale?
Cornerstone.
Oh, Cornerstone. That's a very good one.
And Feast in the House of Zion.
Can you sing a little bit of Zion?
No.
Okay. And then what's your favorite part about the message at chapel?
The jokes.
I heard you got to tell a joke on Thursday. Did Pastor Dinkins let you tell a joke?
Yes.
And what was the joke? Let our listeners listen to your joke.
What do you call a Komodo dragon with cotton in each ear?
I don't know. What do you call a Komodo dragon with cotton in each ear?
Anything you want, I can't hear you.
Did you get some giggles from the audience?
No.
No? All right.
And Pastor Scott thought I said cotton balls, but I said cotton.
Oh, well, you know, that makes sense. I would think cotton balls, too.
I would.
So, anyway, so they have chapel, and then they each take Bible. I am fortunate enough to be able to teach there in the afternoons, and two of the classes that I teach are Bible. I teach Bible with the twins in their 4K class, and I also teach Bible in Juliana's class in the second grade.
Second grade!
And what's super cool is that the material is the same. I just can adapt it for the age level. So, we learned on Thursday about
Job.
Yep. So he had a what, Juliana?
Thankful heart and thankful soul.
He did. He had a thankful heart and a thankful soul. But what did we start the class out with? What did we do at the beginning of class on yesterday?
I don't remember.
We watched what?
We watched Alexander and a very, I don't know, Alexander
and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Yes. So, and what was the point of us watching that? What did it have to do with Job?
Because he lost everything.
Who did? Alexander?
No!
No. But Alexander wanted to go to Australia, didn't he? Do you want to go to Australia?
No.
Would you go to... You know who would love to go to Australia?
Simeon.
Mariella.
Why?
Because they have koala bears
there. Oh,
yeah! Okay, so Alexander had a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day.
Yep.
All right, so.
Oh, we got a koala up here. Hi,
we do have
koala.
A koala up here. All right, so what does that have to do with Job? What happened to Job? Well, first of all, what kind of man was Job?
A kind, loving man who honors God.
He was right.
He had 12 people in his family, if you count Job.
Yep, and who were the people in his family?
He had 3 daughters and 7 sons.
7 sons?
That's a holy moly guacamole a lot.
And he had a lot of animals, didn't he? Like thousands of animals.
Yes, like 2,000, 3,450.
Yeah,
that's not even a number.
So let's get the facts straight here. So there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people in the East.
I can't imagine having that much animals. I can't say it right.
Animals.
Animals.
There you go. So he had a lot of animals, and he was righteous and upright, and he was the greatest in the land. So he was the greatest in the land, Juliana, but was he like, ha ha, I'm so great and powerful? Was he like that?
No.
He was very...
He praised
Jesus. Praised God.
Jesus?
Well, Jesus wasn't around yet. This is the Old Testament. But he praised God. He praised God a lot. Okay, so then what happened?
Not Jesus.
Who went up and started talking to God?
Satan.
Yes. And then what happened?
He's trying to tempt him.
This is the confusing part that's kind of hard for us to understand,
right? I can't even say it.
Right, it's hard. So he wanted all these things to happen to Job. Satan did, right? Because Job was such an upright and righteous man, and Satan was convinced.
He's like, ha ha ha, you cannot. I'm going to rule the world someday.
Yeah, but with Job.
Well, kind of.
Well, but with Job, he was like, if you take all this stuff away from Job, he will curse you, right?
Yeah.
And so God let Satan kind of get his hands on Job. So what?
Which wasn't very nice.
Juliana, that's kind of what we were talking about the mystery of God.
I don't
it's just
really
kind of.
Get it.
I don't really get it either, Juliana. But that's okay because that's where faith comes from, which ties into part of Job. So what happened? What happened to Job?
Jesus wrecked.
No, Jesus wasn't alive yet. What happened? What happened to all his animals and all his family?
He wrecked the animals
and animals,
and he killed he put a fire. And
no,
I don't get it.
No, it's okay. So there was a big gust of wind that what did it do to the house that his children were in?
It whooshed them away and killed them.
Yeah, and knocked the house down and it squished his children.
Not with his wife.
Just his children. Yeah. They were at the oldest son's house.
Yeah.
And then all these things kept happening to the animals. They were getting killed by fire or people were stealing them and the servants. So, and these messengers kept coming up to him like one after the other after the other.
There were three messengers.
Well, there were either three or four, but he had three friends.
Yeah.
Okay. So what happened when Job lost everything? What did Job do?
He praised God.
Yeah. And so, how do you think that made Satan feel?
Really, really weird.
Weird. Probably frustrated. Because he was hoping that this would get Job to curse God.
Right.
So, but it didn't. So then he got covered in sores, right? Job got covered in sores. And went through all this stuff. Did his friends, Job had three super duper wise and smart friends. Did his friends believe him that he was blameless?
No.
So what did they do?
They said, "Stop being foolish, Job."
Yeah, and what did Job say?
"No, I'm telling the truth. Y'all just don't want to listen to me."
And yeah, and so, but this whole time, Job did what?
Believed in God and worshipped God.
Did he ever lose his faith in God?
No.
Mm-mm. No. Okay. So, God said things to Job like, "Who created the ocean and where does the light come from?" And those questions show us that we can't understand everything about God, but we can always trust him and have faith, right?
Right.
Do you always understand everything?
No.
I don't either.
Well, kind of.
Yeah. You understand some stuff. I don't understand everything.
And for dinner, I had Groucho's. And I got potato soup and lemonade.
Yum. Okay. So then.
With bacon bits and cheese.
Bacon bits. Not bits. Bits. Okay. So after all this happened, after everything was taken away from Job and all his friends turned against him, he was still worshiping God. And was Satan ever satisfied with what Job did? So what did God do for Job at the end?
I'm not really sure.
Did he say, "Bye, Job, have a nice day"?
No!
What did he do? Did he bless him?
Yeah.
Okay. So, the Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And these daughters ended up being the most beautiful in the land. And he had enough money to give his daughters an inheritance. And then he lived 140 for 140 years. So he got to see 4 generations. And so he died an old man, wise and full of years. What were you going to say, sweetie?
Does he have more girls? I don't really understand.
He had more children. Because remember, his first children were killed when the house fell on them. So God allowed him to have more children.
How did he get the kids?
What do you mean, how did he get the kids? His wife had a baby. Had more babies.
Okay.
Another conversation for another day. So, what's the moral of the story here, Juliana? What did you learn?
That Job was a very good man and he worshipped God, not Satan and those golden calves or whatever.
Yes, and that Job stayed faithful and true to God. And that through that, through all his trials, at the end, God blessed Job.
Right.
You tired, baby?
Yes.
Yeah. So God blessed Job and God took care of Job. And when I was teaching this lesson with Juliana's class, I taught them first and it was just really profound and they were absorbing it all. And it's just, it's I love that when that happens. And then I went to the twins class and was teaching the twins. They were sitting there on the rug and watching the movie of Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And Bradford was sitting behind Mariella, and they were just so...
Chitter-chatty.
They were not. They were entranced at the movie. They were watching it, and it's very rare that I get the opportunity just to look at the two twins together when they're both being still. And so while the class was watching the movie, I just sat there, and I just looked at the twins, and I just admired them, and I just gave thanks to God for... what beautiful, miraculous creations they are. And, you know, they have more similarities than differences. And I just was thanking God for their beauty. So then we moved on with the rest of the day. Thursdays are a really busy day. And we got home and I was telling my husband at the end of the day the lesson and how cool it was about Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. And I was looking at some pictures of our children, and I stopped, and I got emotional. It was like this weight just hit me, not in a bad way. It was this realization that my children are the end of my Job season. So... to explain that a little bit further, Wade and I, we have been married. It'll be 15 years in August. We got married in 2006 and knew very quickly that we wanted to start a family. So, you know, that's what happens, right? You know, first comes love, then comes marriage, then comes the baby and the baby carriage. But year after year came and there was no baby. Our friends around us that got married, some before us and some after us, had a baby and then two babies and sometimes three babies, and we had none. And that was hard. That was a season that I didn't understand. You know, nobody prepares you when you're going through school. They prepare you for so many other things, but nobody really prepares you for the chance of infertility. Nobody really talks about it, but it's a thing. And it happens to more couples than we think. So Wade and I went through some dark and challenging times as a couple, wondering why. Why did we not have a family? Why were we not having children? And we thought, or I thought, that it might have something to do with genetics. Maybe my genetics were broken and faulty, that God didn't want to bless me in that way, that he wanted to end some generational curses, generational cycles with me. And that was hard. Because here I had this man that I was married to who deserved a family and who wanted a family. And what if I was the one that was preventing him from having that family? Our marriage vows were certainly put to the test. In our wedding rings, we have, I will never leave you or forsake you. This was a true test of that. I felt like I was failing my husband. I felt like I was failing as a woman, and I didn't understand why. I didn't understand what I had done to have so many years of longing and wanting and desiring to be a mother and not understanding why it just wouldn't come to be. 6 years went by before we held Juliana. Juliana was born a little bit after we had been married for 6 years. She was born in October of 2012. But before that, in 2010, we found out that I was pregnant. We were joyful and happy. But at the same time, this part of me was fearful. Something just didn't feel right. And that's not something you ever want to admit as a pregnant woman, that something just doesn't feel right. Because we want to believe that the life within us is going to be life held in our arms. So, came December of 2010. And I was in a car accident. I was T-boned at an intersection, and the baby was fine. I was 10 weeks pregnant at the time. Thank goodness the baby was fine. And so I thought to myself, you know what? This baby's a fighter. You know, we've been through all this, and the baby survived this car accident. And I said, there's no way that God would take this from me. There's no way. I've already been through my pain, and I've already been through my suffering. I wouldn't suffer anymore. I was wrong. Probably like Job felt. You know, when Job initially lost everything, his children, he lost all his cattle and his, you know, all his farm animals and all his servants. And he was just so grief stricken. And he probably thought, wow, that's enough. Nothing else will come my way. That's enough grief for one man to be burdened with. And then came the sores, and then came the questioning friends, and then came the wife that was not very supportive of him. And that was kind of like me. You know, I kind of felt like I was kicked when I was already down, you know? And I would imagine that's partly how Job felt. I had postpartum depression after I lost that child. We lost that child on December 23rd, right before Christmas. Ouch, right? And nobody prepares you for that postpartum depression. And it's even harder for people to understand postpartum depression when there's not a baby in your arms. I remember one night feeling so broken and so inadequate and just so not worthy of the life that I had. Like I was a total failure because I could not even carry a child. And Wade came in the middle of my sobs and just scooped me up and let me cry. And I think about Job and Job's weeping from the depths of his soul. So after that miscarriage, which was called a spontaneous pregnancy, that my doctor at the time told me would never happen again. Talk about another dagger. Oh, by the way, you've been, you know, going through infertility for this long period of time, and then you like randomly got pregnant, and chances of that ever happening again are like none. I mean, how does that feel? It's kind of like Eliphaz in the story of Job. And then I had all these people coming and well-meaning people, just like Job's well-meaning friends telling me, oh, you just need to relax. Oh, you just needed this. Oh, you just needed that. And I'm like, really, people, that is not helpful. And that advice is not helping this baby come any quicker. And Wade and I had some really hard conversations. And finally, we just said, you know what? We're all adopted with God. Why don't we look into adoption? So we did. I left a stressful job and started another job, and we looked into adoption, and we filled out our paperwork. We signed our paperwork to work with a Christian adoption agency. We were sending it off. And a week later, I found out I was pregnant with Juliana, who was born a couple hours after her due date, right on time, healthy and beautiful. We were not sure how long it was going to take to have another baby, knowing that it took 6 years to have her, and we had a loss in between. And so we started trying again, and William was born 21 months later. I felt in my heart that there was still yet another child out there for us to have, and we started trying again, and I became pregnant again with the twins, who are born 2 years and 8 days after William. So when I was sitting there, bringing this all the way back around full circle, when I was sitting there with my husband last night, Wade, talking to him, looking at pictures of our children, I just started crying. And I just said, these children are the end of my Job story. No, I'm not a righteous and blameless person like Job in the least. But what I can claim and what I can cling to is being faithful to God, being faithful to Him always having plans to prosper me and my family and never having plans to harm me. And that, my friends, is probably one of the only things that got us through, me and my husband, through those long, long years of feeling on the outside. So this is why we call it the living word. The words in this book apply to us. We can see the stories of our lives interwoven into the scripture. When we are close in scripture, when we are close in relationship with God, when we are leaning into Him and leaning into His word, we have more opportunities to see the brushstrokes of our lives in the scripture. My children are the ending to my story of Job. And as painful as those years were, and I'm sure as painful as those years were for Job, just like Job found abundance and joy in the morning and lived with a full quiver, so have I found joy through my morning with a family that is more beautiful than anything I could have ever imagined. You know, we went from infertility to a spontaneous pregnancy to ending in miscarriage to a doctor telling us that the chances of us ever being pregnant like that again were basically non-existent, to a healthy girl, a healthy boy, and then God said, twins. It's all a miracle, and it's all a treasure. So what I want you to focus in on and lean in on is, if you feel like you are in a season of drought, if you feel like you are in a season like Job, where things are being pulled away from you and things are sad and things are hard, remember, just like Job, be faithful. There are many things that we don't understand about the Lord, but we have to trust. This is where faith comes from. Faith comes from trusting in what we do not see. Lean into the promises that God does have plans for us, plans to prosper us, and plans to give us a future, plans to never harm us. He is there. He is there in our valley of the dry bones. He is there for us in the droughts. He is there for us when our families have died. He is the great healer of our wounds. And when we follow him, it gives him the opportunity to bless us tenfold from what we feel like we have lost and what we are missing. Thank you for tuning in today. Thank you for listening to my story. And I want to say thank you to our extra special guest. Thanks for tuning in today. If you'd like to find out more information on how to be a holy, healthy Christian mom through free practical advice, group programming, and paid one-on-one coaching, find us on Facebook in the group Holy, Healthy Christian Moms, or check out my website, therootedhelpcommunity.com. I look forward to seeing you soon.